From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 2004 at the Burning Man Festival. Entrepreneur Elon Musk was in attendance, and he had an idea. He would call the idea Solar City, and 2 years later, he co-founded a company of the same name. We'll move ahead to 2013. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced the commitment of $750 million to Solar City in Buffalo. In fact, half of the so-called Buffalo Billion is going to the Solar City plant there. The governor promised 1,400 jobs while describing the plant as the largest solar panel factory in the Western Hemisphere. And you might have seen the headlines, New York State stakes Buffalo economic revival on solar. Then last month, Solar City's stock was plunging down 65%. The company announced it won't hit full production of its solar panels at the Buffalo plant until the summer of 2017, meaning there's a delay of up to 6 months. The company says don't read too much into this. They are not doomed. They will get up to full speed, and they'll be cranking at 10,000 solar panels a day eventually. You might have also seen the headlines about Direct Energy Solar planning to close its sales and operations office in Henrietta by the end of May. The Maryland-based solar company says it will focus on other markets. We'll juxtapose all of that with the rollout of the new Solarize the Flower City campaign. And it can be kind of a confusing picture. Solarize is a campaign offering residents and businesses in Monroe County the chance to link up with solar energy installers. And solar is booming in the Finger Lakes wine industry. So some of our listeners have asked for some clarity on the picture of solar in West New York. How's the industry doing, and what happens next? Let me welcome our guests for the hour. In studio is Sean Lesord. He's the Director of Operations for Renewable Rochester. Sean, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
Susan Spencer's on the line with us. Dr. Spencer is president and founder of RockSpot. And Susan, thanks for taking the time as well.
Thanks for having me on, Evan.
And George McConaughey is going to be joining us as well later this hour. He's the Chief Operations Officer of Sustainable Energy Development. So you're going to be hearing a number of voices. It's always useful, though, I think, to make sure our audience understands exactly who our guests are and what they've been doing. And Sean, you were saying before the program began here, you've been in the business 20 years now?
Yeah, I've had solar panels, Evan, on my own home for 20 years and started out doing this as a hobby, basically. And my hobby has very fastly grown to multiple installations.
I mean, you had solar on your house before the internet and when we were still drinking Senka and Folgers. You know, I mean, this was a different time, so you've seen some changes.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the incentives and you look at people's lifestyles, people, you know, there was times people looked at me and said, why would you ever put solar panels on your house? And now those people that asked me those questions now have solar panels on their house.
So what's the short explanation for what Renewable Rochester does, Sean?
We're a solar integrator and solar installer and solar designer, and we mainly target residential and small commercial applications.
All right, Dr. Spencer, RockSpot, the definition of what RockSpot is.
Well, RockSpot's a community-based organization that's focused on helping the city transition to 100% renewable energy by 2025, and we want to do that at 540 megawatts of solar installed by then.
Okay. And Susan, I want to start with you on the question of just understanding these sort of competing headlines. First of all, Solar City in Buffalo, when you see that they're delaying by 3 to 6 months getting up to full speed production, you know, I know you've seen those headlines and kind of followed that story. How much of a concern, if any, is that to you about the health of solar as an industry in our region?
I think that the health of solar as an industry in our region is very strong. You know, like any industry, solar has multiple components. So we have manufacturers, we have distributors, we have installers, and we have consumer advocates like RockSpot. And for the manufacturing component of the solar industry, building a plant of the scale that Solar City is no small feat. So some delays in construction and in getting all of the manufacturing lines up to speed and producing is not unexpected, and I think a 3 to 6 month delay is understandable, and it doesn't have me too worried about the state of manufacturing there.
Okay, Sean, what do you think? What do you make of the Solar City news?
I agree with Susan. I think that when you're dealing with a company who has multiple businesses, as Elon Musk does, and you look at the breadth and the scale of a project of that magnitude, I mean, it's going to be a multi-billion-dollar a year industry. And I've talked to people who've actually worked in the plant and said they've never seen seen things like they're seeing in that plant, I think that's to be expected that there could be delays.
Okay. Now, when it comes to Direct Energy Solar planning to close its sales and operations office in Henrietta by the end of May, that's a company out of Maryland. And Susan, help us understand what you see there when it comes to their decision.
Sure. Well, Direct Energy is closing all of its offices in Western New York, not just Henrietta. And they're pulling out of the marketplace, I believe, because the economic model for solar that they use doesn't really work in our region. And the reason for that is that they were offering lease options. So a homeowner would essentially lease their roof and still be paying for the electricity. What we find and what you'll see from talking to installers like Sean or George or any of the other installers that we work with, when a homeowner is able to own their own system, the economic investment and the return on their investment makes these systems very profitable for homeowners. But the lease model, which takes profits kind of back up into the leasing company, doesn't really work as well here because customers here want to own their own systems.
So, Susan, were you not surprised by Direct Energy's decision to close local operations?
Well, I think any time that a company goes out of business, it is a surprise. And, you know, we want to make sure that the installers and engineers and salespeople, they're able to be hired up by other companies in the area. But what we found at RockSpot, both for our region and kind of at a state level and nationwide, is that a lot of customers are preferring to own their own systems. So I'm not surprised that that's the customer's preference because that's how the customer saves the most money.
Okay. Sean, what do you make of Direct Energy's decision?
I saw over the past probably 10 years different integrators looking to come into our area, those folks being one of them. And if you look at that and you look at the cost of our electricity here, really owning is a best option because if you're leasing a system, it doesn't make financial sense up here. Whereas if they were in New York City or other areas with a higher cost per kilowatt hour, you know, it might be a better deal.
Okay. And, you know, Sean and I were just talking briefly before the hour began. It sounds to me, Sean, like, is it fair to say that, of course, that's a story. It's a news story. That's a company deciding to close its local operations. But do you worry as a solar provider that there could be an overreaction to the market on, you know, sort of taking that one story and people assuming that solar is either in trouble or et cetera? You know, do you have that kind of concern when you see that kind of a headline?
Absolutely not. If you look back at the growth of the industry, and I mean, in 2014, we did 38 jobs. Last year, we did 108 jobs. And if you look at that continued growth and you look at the combination of local, you know, local installers here in that growth, I just think this is going to be another year we're looking at record growth as well.
All right, hold on. Tell me again then. You did how many installations last year?
108 last year, and we did 1 megawatt of solar in Rochester, right here in our area.
And how does that compare to to previous or to what you expect to do this year, for example?
This year, we're planning on doubling our capacity.
Okay. So before I get to the Solarize campaign, let me let our listeners know, this is an opportunity for you to weigh in with any questions or comments that you have about the state of energy in our region. It's 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And here's the headline in Vox today. And Susan, I don't know if you saw it, but the headline in Vox today, love solar power but got no rooftop, shared solar is coming for you. Let me read this part of Vox, and I'm always curious to know if this applies to what local providers are doing or seeing here. The article says, quote, to date, solar power has mostly been available to utilities as big power plants or individual home and business owners as rooftop panels. Left out has been, well, everyone else, those of us who are not utility executives and do not have the money, wherewithal, or suitable rooftops to install solar ourselves. But that situation is rapidly changing, thanks to the growth of shared solar. Shared solar refers to small-scale solar installations that multiple individuals co-own or that divide their power output among multiple subscribed individuals, end quote. And then the article describes it in more detail. Susan, is that something that we should be looking for here?
Yeah, so shared solar goes by a few different names. It goes by community solar. It goes by community distributed generation. And Governor Cuomo just opened up the shared solar program here in New York State at the very end of 2015. So it's a brand new program for everybody in the industry, and it's something that's coming kind of statewide as well as locally. And the great thing about shared solar is that there's a lot of different ways to do it that benefit both the consumer and the owners of the system. So when we think about shared solar at RockSpot, we're very excited about it because it means that folks who rent their house or folks who are on a fixed income can still take advantage of both the renewable energy and the economic benefits of solar. So they can switch to a cleaner energy source and save money without having to go and buy a home to put it up on. We have a pretty large population of renters here in Rochester, New York. I think there's something like 60,000 rental properties. So this means that solar can actually be accessible to everybody, no matter where they live, whether they're renting or homeowning, and no matter their socioeconomic status. So we're really excited about shared solar.
All right, Sean Lesore, Director of Operations for Renewable Rochester. Is this something that you guys do?
It's a new program. We have not done any of it, but we are very excited to see this coming into fruition. We've actually had multiple inquiries from business owners, large investment property owners, commercial property owners. Matter of fact, this past weekend, I just actually gave a talk, and we had folks that were inquiring about it saying, you know, we have a lot of land, we would like to be a part of this. So there's a real big buzz to see that happen.
All right, as often happens whenever we talk energy of any kind on this program, every single phone line is filled. And so we're going to take your calls in just a second. But Susan, before we jump into the phone calls from our listeners, tell us a little bit more about what Solarize the Flower City campaign is and how you hope it will work going forward.
Sure thing, Evan. So Solarize the Flower City 2016 is a community campaign. And by coming together as a community, we're able to provide significant discounts to homeowners and businesses that are looking to switch to solar. So anybody can sign up on our website, rockspot.org, and get a free assessment from one of our vetted installers and be guaranteed the Solarize discount. And this allows folks to investigate whether or not solar is going to be working for their property. And for anybody who it's not going to work, let's say you have too much shade or you may need a new roof before you can go solar, you'll be added to a waiting list so that when shared solar opens up in our area, you'll be the first to be signed up.
All right, rockspot.org, you want to check out more there. And let's start working through the phone calls. Anthony in Rochester, first up, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any connections made to RG&E changing their rates as we speak. I think it's going to become effective in May. And, you know, just the push for solar, if there's any sort of connection there.
Susan, you want to take that? Thank you, Anthony. Thanks for the phone call. Susan, you want to take it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Anthony. The reason why RG&E is changing its rates, there's a multitude of reasons, right? But the primary one is that they feel that they need to be investing more in the grid and help places like Ginnay stay open and be able to provide power. So solar is not something that in any way competes with the grid. Solar is actually really beneficial for the grid because it can provide electricity during times of peak demand and actually make the grid more resilient. So from what we understand, from what's gone in front of the New York State Public Service Commission, the increasing rates have nothing to do with residential solar or larger solar systems.
All right, so Mark in Rochester on the next line had a question on a similar vein, and I'll let him ask it now because I want to make sure we're hitting this properly. Go ahead, Mark.
Actually, it is related, but the question is, are you doing anything to petition the PSC to stop RG&E and companies like them from charging what they're deeming as the alternate energy surcharge?
I'll start with Susan. We'll have Sean as well. Thank you for the phone call, Mark. Susan, start there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark, thank you very much for the phone call. Rockspot does prepare testimony for the Public Service Commission on what we think is best paths forward in order to ensure that we do have a strong and resilient grid and that consumers are not being unduly burdened. What we always recommend is that consumers, ratepayers, which is everybody in our area, myself included, that we take it upon ourselves to let RG&E and the Public Service Commission know what we're thinking and know what we want. And when we advocate together like that as a community, we're going to be able to hopefully have an impact on how decisions are being made at the state level.
Okay, Sean, what do you think about that?
We have, at this point in time, we have everybody listening. We have the governor's office, we have the state, we have NYSERDA and the Public Service Commission, and the rules are changing rapidly. And with feedback from customers like this question, it's only going to help the industry and make the utilities, you know, understand what's happening here.
Now, Mark, before I go back to you for a little follow-up, if you have any, I just want to say that to our listeners that I think it was maybe 6-7 months ago we had a panel on this program, including Dr. Spencer and people from various other parts of the utilities and the energy industry. And I think, Susan, it's at least fair to say my observation was you don't want to be confrontational if you don't have to be. You want to work together if you can on this, yes?
Well, yeah, but it's already a little bit too late. The alternative energy surcharge is going into effect this year.
Susan?
So the charges that are present on bills, they've been there for a long time. And the reason why they're there is they actually build up the very incentives that NYSERDA then uses to help solar installations and wind installations and energy efficiency, all of that stuff for individual consumers be paid for. So some of the surcharges that are present are actually going directly to the state. Some of the charges that are present are going directly to the utilities, and we're having ongoing conversations with the Public Service Commission about exactly what those charges are and where that money's going. And Mark and everybody who's listening, I'm sure if we look at our RG&E bills, there's a lot of stuff on there, right? There's a lot of different things that we're being charged for, and there's no real clarity for the consumer or for me or for anybody as to exactly what those are for and how that money's being spent. So one of the things that we have pushed for is much greater clarity in terms of how the money that's being collected by the utility is actually being spent to benefit the customer.
Susan, I think it's important to point out a couple of things as well here. First of all, is it premature or not to call that a solar surcharge, as Mark was saying?
I think that it is, yes, because both RG&E and Iberdrola have stated on this program, actually,
yep.
That they are not adding on surcharges to offset any residential solar installations. Anybody who has solar up on their house is still paying to be connected to the grid and to transfer power to it and to use power from it at nighttime or in February, for example. So the solar surcharge that we're seeing in places like Arizona, for example,
yep.
That's not coming into play here in New York State within Iberdrola's utility territory.
Are you certain? Are you certain that there hasn't been a surcharge that hasn't maybe been described that way, but has been levied because of the increasing interest in the community has in solar?
Well, Evan, I have to go on the same information as everybody else, right? So you know, based on what Iberdrola has said, additional surcharges are not because residential consumers are switching to solar.
Okay.
You know, when we look at what's going on in our energy landscape on the grid, you know, we have power plants like Diné or Indian Point that need a lot of work in order to be able to stay open. We have substations and transmission lines that need to be upgraded, and the money for that is going to be coming from the ratepayers. That's how the utilities are set up. So when we see these additional surcharges being put in, what RockSpot wants, and I think what everybody wants, is to understand exactly where that money is going and why it's going to where they say it is going. So to call something an alternative energy surcharge or a solar surcharge that doesn't actually give us any information about what is being done with the money when it's collected by the utility.
Okay. Let me get Dee and Edward who've been waiting. Dee, next up. Go ahead, Dee.
Oh, hi. Yes, I first wanted to thank Susan for all her hard work, and it kind of got me in gear, and I got my solar panels on my roof about 2 weeks ago, and it was a very easy process. I went with the company SED, Sustainable Energy Developments.
Their chief operations officer is on his way in, and we're going to be talking to George in just a moment. So, but go ahead, Dee.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it was like a one-day process, and kind of 2 days. They came in the morning and put the panel, the component box in the basement, and then the next day they got the panels up, and I'm excited. I've been waiting 15 years for this. I pulled some money from my retirement fund, and I was able to afford it, but that because I had, you know, a little money in my fund from work, and there was plenty of incentive. So I'm just really happy, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what the future is like with my energy costs in my home. And I just, again, wanted to thank Susan for, you know, bringing this up in Rochester, and it kind of like put my switch on, and I'm so excited. I'm the first one of my friends in Rochester to have solar. And I'm very excited about that.
Well, Dee, before I let you go, let me ask you, and you don't have to answer any of these questions, but I know some of our listeners might be wondering if you're willing to share what you paid.
Sure, I don't mind. I paid about $5,000.
Okay, and
that's out of my pocket.
Out of your pocket.
And then there was several incentives.
Okay, what's been the feedback from, I don't know if you have neighbors close by, what are you hearing from people?
Oh, nothing yet. You know, with the weather, nobody's really out.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks.
I know my one neighbor. Yeah, my one neighbor lives like probably like 3 feet away from my house, so she actually can see it from her bedroom. So I'm going to give her, you know, I'm going to work on making it a prettier view from her, but she saw the roof anyway, so it's not a big deal. But my roof is brown, so they went with the, you know, brown brackets, and it, for me, it just looks beautiful. I did it more for the environment, and just, you know, I'm just so happy. It's just one of my goals that I had in my life, and I did it, so.
Dee, thanks for the phone call. Susan.
Thank you, Dee.
You know, Susan Spencer of RockSpot, you know, part of your job is to increase enthusiasm and momentum for solar. So let me push a little and say, how come there aren't more Dees like out there now like that? Or are we starting to see that, you know, that momentum gain for home rooftop installation?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got some wonderful folks in our local industry, one of whom is sitting in the studio with you. And there has been this trickle of interest and excitement that's been building for a long time. But the biggest problem is how expensive solar has been. And really, that cost has only dropped in the last 5 years, and it's dropped precipitously. As you heard from Dee, she paid $5,000 for a system for her house. That's amazing. That is fantastic. So as the word spreads about the true cost of the technology now, and as folks in Dee's neighborhood start to see her house, we begin to see the buildup of exponential growth. And if you look at any country in the world and any state in the U.S., the growth of rooftop residential solar is almost always exponential. So we start small, and then we build very quickly. So I think that, again, getting the word out there and getting people educated about the technology, that really is what we love to do at RockSpot, because people often think that it won't work here or that it's too expensive. And once they realize that neither of those things are true, the most common response I get is, oh, my God, where do I sign? So the excitement's there, and the excitement is building, and campaigns like Solar as the Flower City really help to spur that excitement and get the word out there.
Well, Sean Lasord, the Director of Operations for Renewable Rochester, if Dee's house, if her out-of-pocket costs for this installation at her house was $5,000 2 weeks ago, realistically 5-10 years ago, what would it have been?
Three or four times that amount.
Three or four times that. So she could have paid $20,000 5 or 10 years ago. Now it's $5,000.
Correct.
So that's why people like you and your colleagues are not concerned about jobs. In fact, that's probably why you're more optimistic than ever.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing as why, you know, why did it take everyone a long time to buy computers? Because computers for a long time were cost prohibitive. Cell phones, things like that, right?
Yep. If you look at the costs, how they've come down, you couple that with the technology. The technology 10 years ago would not have allowed that person to have, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 panels. They would have had to have a bigger system, where nowadays the technology is, you know, get you to that point.
All right, let me grab one more quick phone call before we bring in George McConaughey, who's the Chief Operations Officer of Sustainable Energy Developments, SED, the company that did Dee's house, by the way. Let me grab Edward in Rochester. Go ahead, Edward.
Hello, Evan. I'm an avid fan of renewable resources. Just a little history before I ask my question. I understood that Germany, as a nation, spent a lot of time and energy removing themselves from fossil fuels, only to realize that that the economic security net that they put around the companies that they invested in to do the changes to create renewable resources were not being competitive on the international scale. And in recent history, China has developed solar systems that far outpace it in productivity and are much less costive. So my question is, what is the local, federal, and state interest in creating renewable resources as a viable alternative? What are the supports and safety networks that are set up? And I'll take my questions and answers off here.
Edward, thanks for the phone call. I'll turn to Dr. Susan Spencer, the president and founder of RockSpot, for that answer. Go ahead, Susan.
Sure. I feel like I could probably sit down with Edward for about 5 hours and discuss this topic. So I'll try and make my answer brief. The federal policy for solar specifically, I'll stick to what I know, is a 30% investment tax credit for homeowners and businesses. And that has been extended out through 2024, and the size of the tax credit steps down. So it gets smaller over time, and that decrease starts in 2019. The state level, you know, state by state, there's a different policy in every state, right? But here in New York State, what we have is called the Megawatt Block Incentive Program. And the way that the governor set this up is that we had a amount of money, $1 billion, that was divided into different blocks. And as more solar is installed, the state incentive is decreased. So what this creates is some stability for the industry to grow, but it also allows the industry to support itself. And it means that, you know, the incentives that the state is providing go down over time as the solar panels have gone down in cost. So at the local level, we have a variety of structures in place, depending on where you are. If you're in, you know, Brighton or the city of Rochester or Orleans County, there's going to be different permitting and zoning that's set up. And all of the folks that we've been working with at RockSpot, with the city of Rochester and the town of Brighton, have been very forward-thinking in screening their permitting and zoning process. So the support that is there for the solar industry is really geared at helping the consumers and not necessarily setting up a safety net around the industry as you described it in Germany. The industry is being allowed to grow and being allowed to flourish based on its own merits and on the merits of the panels that are being installed.
All right, let's get a short break. We're going to come back and our panel grows here. You heard Susan Spencer on the phone, the president and founder of Rockspot, that is launching their Solarize the Flower City campaign, and you can find more at rockspot.org. Sean Lesord's here. He's the director of operations for Renewable Rochester. George McConaughey is here, the chief operations officer of Sustainable Energy Development, and every phone line still lit up. We hold these kind of programs just to try to answer your many questions on these energy issues, so let's get a break, and we'll spend the rest of the hour with your phone calls next. Coming up in our second hour, a $15 minimum wage. New York State lawmakers are considering it, the governor is urging it, and many business leaders are warning against it. We're going to hear from both sides in this debate. We'll update you on what the Farm Bureau is saying about the special risk to New York farms. And we'll talk about what legislative leaders have said most recently. A $15 wage. Join the conversation next hour.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from Genesee Valley Trust, helping individuals and families accumulate and preserve wealth through customized investment strategies, providing solutions for the complex needs of business owners, family foundations, and not-for-profit organizations. GeneseeValleyTrust.com.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and now finally we'll have some disagreement on the panel because I think we've got competitors in studio. Sean Lesord's here from his company, Renewable Rochester. George McConaughey is the COO of Sustainable Energy Development. George, nice to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
How long has SED been here? How long has it existed?
We are coming up on our 14th year. In business. We've been in the Rochester area for just about 10 years.
Okay. And I imagine you've seen the same kinds of change that Sean and Susan have been talking about, yes?
Yep. It's a very exciting time to be in the energy industry, especially on the renewable distributed generation side where Sean and Susan and I do our business.
All right. So Sean said just over 100 installations last year, hoping to double that this year. Yes?
Correct.
And so far on track to double that this year?
Yes.
Okay. What about, I don't know what size of company you are. So SED, how big?
Yeah, we are just about a 30-person company at this point. We were named last year as one of the top 100 fastest growing companies in Rochester. So I think that's certainly a demonstration of the growth in our industry. As Sean was saying, we've really our first year doing residential solar was last year, so we did about 80 to 90 installations. Just like Sean, we're planning on doubling that. We look to the Rockspot campaign, to really help facilitate that growth.
And we're talking about primarily Rochester, Monroe County, outside the immediate county area here?
Yeah, we are both a residential and commercial scale project developer. So we do larger projects all over the northeastern U.S. on residential and light commercial here in the sort of six counties surrounding Rochester.
Okay. Well, we've got lots of phone calls, and this is your chance to get a lot of these questions answered. So we'll just go down the line here. Next up is Noreen out in Henrietta. Go ahead, Noreen.
Hi, I just wanted to call in because, like your previous caller, I just purchased solar panels. They should be going in next month, and I'm really excited. But I wanted to say that the financing is so affordable now that, and having to come up with $5,000, you don't really have to because there's a Green New York, Green Jobs loan program. And the payments I'm going to be paying is pretty much what I'm paying for electricity right now. It's a very low interest rate, and I'm not putting any money up. So I just, people hear $5,000 and they go, I don't have that, but you don't really need to come up with that.
Okay, and so yours are going in next month, you said?
Yes, they are.
Is it as we've been talking about, is it essentially a one-day job? What do you expect?
I think that's what it's going to be, one day for the installation and then another day to set up inside.
And do you have nearby neighbors, Noreen?
I do, yeah.
Are you the first with solar in your area?
There's one place behind me. But, I feel like it's a well-kept secret with the federal and state tax refunds and a NYSERDA to grant that they cover two-thirds of the cost, and then you get this affordable financing, and it's really a no-brainer. It's a great, easy thing to be able to do.
Well, Noreen, thanks for the phone call. And another person who got solar, I think, pretty recently from SED was Caitlin in Williamson. Let's go to Caitlin. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Hi. Yes, my husband and I actually just got the solar panels put in the beginning of March, and I wanted to add to the same effect that we didn't have to put any money down due to the NYSERDA grant. We are going to be paying also a very low interest monthly payment. It's going to be about $37, and we're super excited. We have had a little bit of it show up on our RG&E bill already. The first 3.5 days that the solar panels were up, we created 40 kilowatt hours. And I was told by the guys that were putting them on the roof that we were one of the youngest customers that they've had. When my husband and I are just turning 30 this year. So.
You know, that's interesting, Caitlin. They said you're some of the youngest. Maybe I'm wrong. I kind of would think there might be a little bit of a generational split. And as millennials especially come into a little bit more of a stable home and income situation, that they may be more open to solar just because of habit. I don't know. But so, Caitlin, they said you're the youngest.
Yep, I completely agree. I mean, I shared the process. I was home with my two young girls. We were watching out the window as everybody went up with the solar panels, and I was posting pictures on Facebook, and all of my friends from high school were all commenting and asking who we were using and how it was working and if they could do it. So I definitely think that they're interested. And I have friends in lots of different states who are also looking into trying to figure out how to do it as well.
Caitlin, thanks for the phone call. Very interesting. All right, so Sean and George, Would you agree with her that 30 is kind of young for what you've seen in terms of the homeowners? Because my expectation would be that millennials is sort of up their alley if they feel like they can afford it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly the demographic changes that are happening in our country and certainly in our area, are sort of that age bracket is coming, coming to the point in their lives where they do have some disposable income. They're certainly educated on environmental issues and on energy issues. So we are actually seeing more and more younger customers, which is really exciting. I mean, they're excited about it. They're educated. They're connected socially. So it's great for solar in Rochester.
Okay, Sean, what are you seeing?
And if you look at the people that are looking to do this, the younger generation, they're they're well educated. They're technology savvy folks. They're looking out for their interests, for their kids' interests, for the environment. They're looking out for their kids' interest in their own personal finances from years on. If you look at utility rates, typically 4% increase. They're looking to take and make that go back into their own pockets.
Okay, Susan, what do you think about the demographics of people who are interested?
I think that a lot of the market for the last year and a half, 2 years, has been what I describe as true believers and early adopters. So folks that are really passionate about the environment or folks that are really interested in new technology. And the age range of the people who have signed on has been in kind of the baby boomer demographic primarily. But what we're seeing in terms of interest is that it really doesn't know any age bounds or socioeconomic bounds. Everybody that we speak to about this is interested in understanding how it can work for them. The folks who've been moving on it in the last couple of years have been kind of the early adopters. But that's also a reflection of the Rochester area. Our solar market has been slow to grow when compared to other parts of the state, like central New York or even downstate. So what we're expecting in the next couple years is a fairly rapid level of growth amongst all consumer demographics.
All right, let me get back to the phones. Patty in Rochester next. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi. I have two comments and a question. First of all, I want to say hi to Sean and just appreciate the work that Sean has done in our community over the last couple of decades in terms of environmental issues and being one of those early folks to get solar panels on homes in the area. As soon as I get my new roof, I'll be giving you a call, Sean, to get those panels on my roof finally. Secondly, I wanted to say that I'm really excited to hear about all these projects and to be part of an initiative that's begun called Renewable Energy Districts, where we're trying to match consumers with users of shared solar projects. And my question is, wondering from your panel, how long you think it will take for some of these shared projects in our area to actually be built and operating?
Patty, thank you. George, you want to start? Go ahead.
Sure. You know, we are very excited about this. I think our biggest concern at this point with shared renewables is how the utility companies are going to deal with them. You know, certainly they, are having to follow regulations at the state that are sort of in process of being rolled out. But SED is planning on doing a pilot project that we're hoping to get installed by July. So we're going to do a 200 kilowatt pilot project to kind of feel out some of those issues that the utility is certainly going to throw in front of us and work through those so we can start doing larger projects and roll those out to the community.
Okay, Sean?
Thank you, Patty. You actually embarrassed me here a little bit, or made me blush. I think you're going to see it within the next year start to come to fruition. Over the next 2 years, you're going to see it double in capacity. And so people actually, as I mentioned, have already contacted us to say we have huge amounts of land that we want to build these solar farms on to do community access. We have church groups who want to, we have space here to, we want to have these people invest in this. We have landfills that cannot ever be used. Why not put solar panels on there? So I think within the next year and a half to 2 years, you're going to see a lot more of this happening.
Patty, thank you for the phone call. Let's go down to Naples. And this is Diana listening in Naples. Go ahead.
Hi, Evan. Thanks so much for this great program.
Sure.
It's so informative. I had a question and then a comment. I hadn't heard. Is it feasible to install solar panels on metal roofs?
Sean, you're nodding right away. Yes.
Yes, we've done many installations on metal roofs, and as technology has evolved, obviously before a long time ago, we couldn't do it. Now there's actually applications. It's treated very similar to an asphalt roof or a slate roof.
All right, same for SED, George. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. We haven't found a roof that we couldn't put solar on yet. So, you know, all kind of materials, there are solutions out there. It's a big enough industry now that there's customized, cost-effective solutions.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen the Mushroom House out in Victor. That may be the one. But, all right, go ahead. Diana, I know you had another one. Go ahead.
Yes. About a year ago, someone called me from a solar installation company. I don't remember who it was. It doesn't matter. But my comment was to him, I'm in my 70s. Would I recoup? Would it be practical? Would I recoup the installation? And he said, no, probably not. And that was the end of it. As I say, that was about a year ago, and I wonder, would there be a big difference now in that short a time?
Hmm. Diana, thanks for the phone call. George?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a capital investment in your home's value. So, you know, you're adding value to your home. You know, we're seeing residential payback periods in so 5 years or less. In that light, we believe it's a good investment for anyone. And I think Susan mentioned earlier, that older folks that end up being on fixed income, their energy costs can be a much higher percentage of their sort of monthly budget. So, even on a month-to-month basis, it makes sense for you today. And I think, as an earlier caller mentioned, the financing available, it makes it so you're investing in your future and your family's future, and you're paying less than you would to the utility company.
All right. Marty in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Marty.
Yes, hi. I wanted to comment on the metal roof concept. I have a metal roof, and I decided against putting it on top only because I didn't want to worry about whether or not it was going to cause a problem. And what I did was I used, or I had the company install poles. And so I have them pole mounted in the backyard, and one of them is actually going to be used as like an awning over a patio that I'm creating. And it's very nice, and I put 8.5 kilowatts up. So I just want people to know that the poles, the associated poles and the costs associated with those poles were also included in the credit amount. And if you do it with the company that's actually installing them, and if there's somebody in the state saying that's not right, then I've just learned something, but it was very helpful to be able to take the cost of those poles and associate it with the cost of the actual array.
Marty, thanks for the phone call. I guess a creative solution, George and Sean, which you're probably no stranger to. If it sounds like he came up with a way to make that work, also made it cost-effective for him. Speaking of cost-effective, I got a few minutes left here trying to get through as many of your comments and questions as we can. John writes to us on Twitter and says, I would like solar, but I've got cheap Village Electric at about 6 cents per kilowatt hour. Doesn't yet make financial sense for me. Does that sound about right, George and Sean? I mean, for someone, I guess, cheap Village, I assume we're talking Fairport Electric. I don't know. But are you not doing a lot of jobs in Fairport for that reason?
Yeah, that's correct. Municipal-owned utility, I believe they have specific language that doesn't allow you to install solar. But I think the things that we try to do for municipal utilities like Fairport is provide them as communities options to buy electricity. So maybe at a residential level, it doesn't make economic sense, but for that entire community, for the MOU to be able to purchase power just like they would from Niagara Falls or other big generators in the state, they can purchase local solar power.
Okay. Well, Paul writes to us and says, we put solar in our yard in Penyan last year. We love it. $15 a month are our NYSEG bills. So that's from Paul listening on Finger Lakes Public Radio, WEOS 89.5 FM in the Finger Lakes. Thank you, Paul. And let's see here. Let me grab an email from Tim. Tim says, a couple of questions. Solar puts energy back into the grid, so at some point, is there a glut of energy that the grid won't need, kind of like a half-full glass of water that once you fill it up and then it overflows? Also, if it costs $5,000 for Dee's house out of pocket, what was the actual cost? Maybe it wasn't much, but if it was, she should be thanking her next-door neighbor, the taxpayers, for paying a bunch of that. That comes from Tim. Susan, let me start with you on that. How do you answer the question about solar putting energy back into the grid that the grid doesn't need?
Well, I think that it's important to think about electrons and electricity as a resource that the grid is always needing. The sole purpose of the grid is to receive and deliver electrons, and it can receive and deliver billions and billions and billions of them. So a residential home is not going to have any impact on the grid. When you start to look at a utility-scale system, those are designed to specifically provide benefits for the grid and to be fully integrated into it. So the grid itself is actually benefited by solar being present on it.
Okay, and then I do want to try to sneak in one more phone call, but Susan, just 30 seconds here. Tim's making the point that when it comes to tax dollars, we're still seeing, you know, the reason that it's $5,000 is he's saying tax dollars like him are paying for it. Is that fair?
Well, Dee's also a taxpayer, right? We're all taxpayers. So I think that when we look at where our taxes are going, I think that getting a renewable energy system for your house and receiving tax credits for it is a reasonable use of our tax dollars. It reduces the amount of fossil fuels that we're consuming, and it creates immediate economic benefit, not just for the folks using it, but for where they're spending their money. Dee now has more money in her wallet that she can go spend at local businesses and establishments. So I think we need to kind of take a more holistic approach about how the taxes are being spent. And keep in mind that these tax credits are stepping down over time. So this is not a permanent tax credit that's okay. in place. It's only in place for a short time.
All right, David in Rochester, I can't get to your call, but he was asking. He's turning 30 this year. He's owned a home for 5 years. Wants to know, should he wait for the technology to get better? What's the 15-second answer? George and Sean, what's the answer for David? Is now, in a decent time, 5 years from now, is it going to be much better technology?
Now is the time to do it.
Well, of course you're going to say that.
Yeah,
but is it going to be better in 5 years?
I'm absolutely biased. You know, I think that, you know, equipment efficiencies are going to increase. The costs are going to continue to go down, but the incentives are going to go down as well. So it's sort of like saving for retirement. The earlier you start, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
All right, so the biased answer, David, admittedly from George, is that it might not actually be even any more cost-effective in 5 years, and the efficiencies have come so far in 20 years, we've been hearing from Sean, that it's going to get more efficient, but a lot of the gains have been made, I think, in many ways with solar. So it'll be interesting to watch. Thank you for the phone call there. George McConaughey, the Chief Operations Officer for Sustainable Energy Developments, SED, thanks for being here. George, nice talking to you. Sean Lesore, Director of Operations for Renewable Rochester. Thank you, Sean. And rockspot.org, Susan Spencer. Thank you, Susan. Nice talking to you, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, short break, talking minimum wage next.